Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Blog Talk Radio. This is Steve Cooper, and of course, I am the actor Jesus Christ in a passion play this year called New Again, and I'm very excited about the passion play, and believe it or not, I have my director here, Mary Bowden, and she's going to tell you a little bit about this passion play and give you some insights a little bit about it. We've got something special we're going to do for you before the sermon. Say anything.
Well, the drama is based on the crucifixion. Sorry, I'm still half asleep, but he caught me off guard.
Sorry about that.
But
I always seem to do that. I'm evil.
Okay. Anyway.
I'm the evil Jesus. No, I'm Jesus.
You're not.
All right, go ahead.
But anyhow, it's a... But it starts off with on the road up to Via Della Rosa, and then there's a little conversation between Jesus and Mary going on. Very heartfelt. And then there's the crucifixion scene, and then there's the resurrection scene.
There's going to be all kinds of blood and gore.
It goes all the way from the crucifixion through to the resurrection.
And best of all, it starts Saturday, March the 31st, 2018 at 7 p.m. Eastern Time Road. It's in a gymnasium, and I'm understanding there might be two performances?
Maybe.
Maybe two performances.
They have they have an Easter, what do they call it, a spring fling?
The spring fling Easter extravaganza.
Yeah, all
bounce houses, Easter egg hunt.
You name it, if it pertains to Easter, they're probably going to have it.
And there's no better way to celebrate Easter than to do that, right? I mean,
right.
No better way.
And who knows, maybe some of the characters will be walking around among the crowd.
Some of the Roman soldiers and even Jesus Christ himself. The one thing I want to add about this play is, you know, Melanie is Mother Mary. She plays a great role in the play, but a very hard role in the play. A very hard role. Dallas, I'm sure you're listening, aren't you? He's listening. He's getting some things done. But anyway, Mary is having this really heartfelt conversation with her son Jesus before he goes to Calvary's Hill to die on the cross. And how do you feel about this? I mean, your only son is being walked to Calvary to be crucified, but in the midst of all this going on, he talks to you. You know, it takes 5 minutes, and you know, from being whipped and beaten and nailed to the cross to talk to you. How do you feel about this? The Mother Mary character.
Being a mom myself, I couldn't give up my child to be murdered. But being Mary believes, so it's got to happen.
Mary believes, but in a way I really want to say she didn't really understand the full process of it. Even though Jesus told her his time was coming, she didn't really understand the full start of happening. First, there was a triumph entry. We're going to be talking about that today. I'm going to be preaching about it. And then, of course, after the triumph entry, there was the Last Supper, the Garden of Gethsemane. Basically, Dallas, this is like the Easter program into one starting now. And next week, we're going to go into the crucifixion and things like that, or the arrest of Jesus, how it was made secret. But today is a special day, Mary. Today is when your son enters Jerusalem. You know, you of all occasions probably know this, just for a visit. You know, maybe just to kind of settle down. You only know the crucifixion is coming up yet. You've been told by Christ that his time was soon coming. But, I mean, come on. I mean, there's a big parade going on today in the city of Jerusalem.
Yeah. For the big parade to happen, the crowd's going to be surrounding her son. She's not going to be able to know where he is. She's going to be scrambling around, looking, making sure.
Trying to look for him.
Make sure nobody's messing with him.
All right. So before we get started, a couple of prayer requests to mention. Captain Deanne Jones, she's been really bad sick. And according to what I understand, she's getting better. Christine Allen, there was this girl that messaged me last night, said she's having surgery, to pray for her. And also pray for, I think that's about it, right? Pray for the captains and, you know, definitely pray that this drama goes well, that people that show up, they get touched by the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and come to know him as personal Savior. And there's no greater way. It's like I told you before, there's no better way to throw in a play. There's no better way to have an Easter than to have a real nice gander, if I can talk. Don't make fun of me. I'm your son, Jesus.
That's
crying
what
out loud.
Do.
Mamas, don't make fun of their son.
Mamas laugh at their kids all the time.
Anyway, it's going to be a very fun time. We're very excited about it. And we're going to do something special for you starting actually now. This is the conversation between Mary and Jesus, and the song is called New Again. I don't seem proud. Thank you. Mother, do not cry for me. All of this is exactly how it's supposed to be.
I'm right here. Can you hear my voice? My life, my love, my Lord, my baby boy.
As they nail me to this tree, just know my Father waits for me.
God, how can this be your will, to have your son and my son killed?
Mother, whatever happens, whatever you see, whatever your eyes tell you that, you come with me. This is not, it's not the end. I am making all things new again.
I remember when you were born. In that manger where I first held you in my arms, so many miracles and life you've changed, and this world repays you have all its pain.
And that they nail me to this tree, just know the Father waits for me.
God, how can this be your will, to have your son and my son killed?
Mother, whatever happens,
whatever happens,
whatever you see,
don't want to see,
whatever your eyes tell you has become of me. This is not,
tell me it's not
the end. I am saying all things new again. That's what I'm talking about. Mother, it's going to be okay. My Father has all things under control. I'm going to make things new again. I promise I will be back. Whatever happens, whatever you see, whatever your eyes tell has come to me. This is not,
no,
not the end. I am there. All things new. Thank you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day, God. Thank you for your many blessings that you've bestowed upon us, God. I pray that as I preach this message, Lord, to those that are listening, Lord, even in between breaks, God, we just pray that you have your way, Lord. We want to mention the play, Lord. We know that the drama is coming up soon. And as we've given these people clips about the Easter play and the song that's going on between, you know, your mother and you, Lord, how heartbreaking it is before Jesus goes to the cross saying, whatever happens, whatever comes is not always a good start of a conversation for a mother and son. But, Lord, you did it for us so that we could be saved, God. And God, I just pray for Captain Deanne Jones and her family, Lord, that you heal them. Lord, they've been sick for a week or so. And Lord, this sickness that's been going around, we just ask, God, that you just lay a touch on them, Lord. And, Lord, just be with our directors and everybody in this passion play. And, Lord, let your spirit be made known as the Easter, as the spirit of your resurrection once again reminds us of our triumph and victory in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. All right, so how many loves parades? You like parades, Melon?
Yeah.
I love parades as well. Parades are so exciting. Matter of fact, I love parades. And, you know, I'm not being sarcastic. Usually I'm very sarcastic, but I'm not being sarcastic. I love parades. You know, roads, there's nothing like roads getting closed up, all kinds of music playing, bands getting ready to go out and to play their notes, you know, and you can just feel the contentment and the excitement within it. And, you know, there's different types of parades, like, for example, the Macy's Thanksgiving Parade, their Thanksgiving, that's always a big one. And, you know, if I were you, I would try to make it up there as early as possible because, like, around late October because it crowds up pretty quick. And also, you've got the school homecoming parades where they celebrate celebrate the wins and the victories. And then, of course, the Independence Day parade. And that's like celebrating freedom of America. And, of course, but what are parades for, folks? That's the question. What are parades for? Parades are for the celebration of a special occasion, whether it be in business or local. Now, Dallas, I know you're learning parade-ology here, I guess you'd call it. But, you know, hey, Dallas is going to school first thing noon today. Anyway, that's what parades are. They're a celebration of a special occasion in business or local. You know, parades are just awesome. But there is one small parade that we forgot to mention, and yes, it does exist, at least it did thousands of years ago. This parade was no other than the parade of welcoming a king. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 62, verse 11, starting in that scripture, and I want to read something very important to you in Isaiah chapter 62, verse 11. Whether you have a New International King James Version, or if you have a contemporary Bible, or if you just have a King James Version, I want you to turn to Isaiah chapter 62:11 with me. And here's what the scripture says in Isaiah. I want to quickly find my spot. Just give me a second here. Okay, here we go. All right, Isaiah chapter 62. Starting out in verse, I want to start off in verse 9 or verse 8 and continue through 11. The Lord has sworn by his right hand and by the arm of his strength, surely I will no more give thy corn to meat for thine enemy, and the sons of the stranger shall not drink thy wine for thee which thou hast labored for. Verse 9. But they that have gathered it, shall eat it and praise the Lord. They shall have brought it together, shall drink in the courts of my holiness. Verse 10, go through the gate. Prepare ye the way of the people. Cast up, cast up, cast, cast ye the way of the people. Cast up the highway, gather out the stone, lift up a standard for the people. In verse 11, behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the world, say ye to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. That comes from Isaiah chapter 62, verse 11. This parade maybe didn't have the same crowd, just like Macy's had the same, just like Macy's had in Macy's, where you're looking at 10,000 or more of crowd within the play, or within the parade. I got the play on my mind now. But it is a representation of a father's only son and a Mary's only son making his way into Jerusalem. We're talking about the man of miracles, the man of humbleness, who made the blind man see and the lame to walk. Let's go to Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. And here's what it says. It's in the front again. It is in the front, as I thought it would be. I think I went past it.
What did I get from?
Zechariah.
That's a little bitty book.
That is a little bitty book, yeah. So going to Zechariah. I'm going to look at my table of contents to find a small scripture. All right, you. Show the horses, folks. We're trying to get this scripture up real quick. It's a very small book. Oh, there we go. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. You will turn there with me. No, I didn't lose my place. I have done that before, trust me. Zechariah chapter 9, 7 through 9, it says, and I will take away his blood out of his mouth and his abomination from between his teeth, but he that remained, even he shall be for our God. And he shall be as a governor in Judah, and Ekron as the Jebusite. And I will intent about mine house because of the army, because of him that passed, and because of him that returneth, and no oppressor shall pass through them any more. For now have I seen with mine eyes. Now listen to what verse 9 says here. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just, having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, that foal of an ass. And I will cut off the chariot of Ephraim, and the horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace unto the heathen, and dominion shall be from sea to sea, and from river and unto the ends of earth. Now, there are several representations I want you all to catch on to spiritually. We look at the bow, the upside bow. It's just like a rainbow in the sky. What did God put the rainbow in the sky for? To promise that the earth would not be destroyed by water and flooded out anymore. He said that it won't be destroyed by water I promise that I shall not flood the earth again. And because of Noah's faithfulness, he set a bow over the region, and that was to mean that he would never flood the earth again. And that's why every time that, you know, we may come up with these scientific explanations that every time we see a bow, we think of the crystals and the sun, but really, truthfully, amazingly, it is the light of the promise of God. When a promise is made, a promise bears light. A promise bears control. A promise bears humbleness. A promise bears forever bearance, which means that promise is to never to be made broken. When a promise is made, when you break it, then that's not a promise. That is just a promise coming from your mouth, but it's not a promise coming from the heart. And it's the promise that comes from the heart is what matters to God. The same that meant to the people, it was the promise to the that came to the people. Now, when we think of the rainbow, the rainbow represents protectiveness, does it not? The rainbow represents protectiveness. However, if you were to take that bow and turn it upside down, then therefore we would be no longer protected. If the bow was not to be in the sky, then all destruction and all hell would break loose on us all, which is exactly what was going to happen with the sin that was going on into the world. But God, who was just enough and faithful enough, he makes this small occasion and he sends his only begotten son, Mary's only child, into the city of Jerusalem. People thought would just be a regular Passover thing, but it wasn't really a regular Passover celebration. It was a celebration for the Passover of the main sacrifice that was coming into the city. Let me tell you a little something about sin. Sin had its evil grip on the whole world, but through a powerful vision, Abraham was going to sacrifice his son because there was no sacrifice to remain left. He was going to sacrifice his son, and at the point of throwing his dagger up to kill his son, an angel spoke to Abraham and looked behind him, and he saw a lamb that was wrapped up in the bushel of thorns, a lamb which is the representation of God. One son being saved to another's son being murdered. A heart that is being healed and mended to a mother's heart that was going to soon be broken, and she would soon feel the piercing and the agony. Let's go to John chapter 12. John chapter 12, 15, here's what it says. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried this word, Hosanna! Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found the young ass, said thereon, and it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh sitting on a donkey. In verse 13, then he took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him. And of course, that's in verse 16, these things understood not his disciples at the first, but when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, and they that he done all these things. For those of you that don't understand what the palm trees and the olive branch meant, trees and the olive branch will be explained after we take a break. Dallas, go ahead with a commercial. We'll be back in just a few minutes. God bless you all. I'll see you all in the second half of the program. olive branch and the palm branches. In the 5th century in the ancient of Rome, you see the defeated during the war would hold it out to indicate that they were pleading for peace. The palm tree also represented eternal life. And, of course, for reference, you can find that in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Now, don't get me wrong, Jesus wasn't pleading for peace. No, he was wanting to bring peace, only if those who would accept it. The palm branch is a symbol of triumph, if you will, of victory and peace. Whenever a victory and triumph was won, a palm was awarded to the victorious athletes in Greece. That's why you would see Pontius Pilate, and that's why you would see Nero wear these things on their head as to be the most powerful, to be the most victorious, so that people would bow to worship them. And it was a sign that this is who you must worship. Jesus, however, people brought to worship Jesus. Jesus didn't have it on his head. No, these people had it in their hands. Look at Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21 real quick. Let's turn there. In Philippians chapter 3, 20 through 21, someone want to point out to you real quick. Ephesians, I do know that. Find my spot here. Gleeman. Sometimes I question myself, why do I pick the most smallest books to print in? In Philippians chapter 3, 20 and 21, it says, but my God shall supply all your needs according to the riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father. I think that would be the right scripture. Let's see if it is. Yeah, that is the right scripture. To God the Father be glory forever and ever and ever. And then it says down here in 21, here it is. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus, the brethren, in which with me greet you. So they were using these victorious palm branches to greet and salute a savior, a king. Now you're probably wondering, you know, a king of many attributes would be coming in on a red carpet. You're probably thinking lots of music, because a king was the highest of highs. He was to be honored. Even coming in cherubims. But instead of coming in cherubim and instead of coming with a red carpet, Jesus didn't come but in his lowly nature and on a lowly donkey. Ask yourself, why would a king that was sent from heaven, or why would a king of any king would want to ride a donkey that's so lowly in heart? Because donkeys were a representation of a master servant. They were used little, but they were done away by many. They were not the very brightest animals. In fact, they were very small. They were not very popular animals. Donkeys were less popular animals and very weak. But the one thing about these animals is they had a strong and willing heart to do whatever it is they were called to do by their master. Going to ride in on a donkey, a small animal for such a small occasion, but big for mankind. Isaiah chapter 53, verses 1 through 12, and I'm almost done. In Isaiah chapter 53, 1 through 12, let's turn there real quick. Isaiah chapter 53, 12, 1 through 3. I think that's what I said. Isaiah chapter 53, 1 through 12. Sorry about that. In Isaiah chapter 53, 1 through 12, here's what it says. who has believed our report, and to whom his arm the Lord revealed. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as rooted of dry ground, he hath no form or comeliness. When we will see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid as if it were faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we are like sheep have gone astray. We each one have turned every one to his own way. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, and yet opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers, and as a dumb, so he opened up his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. Who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living, for the transgression of my people were stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and the rich in death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He had put on grief to put grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul, and he shall be satisfied with the knowledge. Shall my righteous servant just magnify, for she shall bear. What does that mean for us today? Well, we're just like that donkey. We may not be popular to some, in fact, hated by most, either because we're growing gray hair, we're old, and we eat way too much. All we want to do is sit in front of the TV and watch it. However, it is not the outside that God looks upon that he wants to use. It is on the inside. Because even though we may look lowly and less comforting outside, on the inside is what really matters. It represents that even through the mighty hope of Jesus, we in this life have victory over trials, triumph over temptation. And those who accept him will have the same victory as long as we believe it. Let me ask you something today before we close this program. Are you struggling through a narrow life? Are you having some problems and issues? We all do. But God has something special for you. It comes with peace. It comes with eternal life. And soon this man that was entering into the city that they would praise, they would soon turn their backs on him, mock him, scourge him, and make fun of him. Who is this man I'm talking about? Jesus, Yahweh, forever God with us. That's going to be it for this program. Y'all have a happy Easter, and God bless you, and may Jesus keep you, and we pray for you all throughout your days to come. May the Lord live forevermore. Amen.